Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Carrie Zeilinger. She came in fourth place in the most recent contest. If you're listening on iTunes, go over to venusindex.com and check out her picks. And we just had a couple technical difficulties, so let's just get right back into it. Carrie, start us with your history with respect to diet and fitness and kind of what you did before you came to Venus.
Okay, most of my adult life, I fluctuated maybe 10 or 15 pounds either direction. Mm-hmm. But then in 2006, I took a traveling software consultant job, which had me traveling 95 to 100% time. So this was very new to me.
And how old are you at that point? And when you say, I got two questions for you. How old are you? And 95 to 100% meaning weekends included or not Monday to Friday?
Typically, we are traveling Sunday through Friday. So I leave my house on Sunday and I return on Friday. Mm-hmm. However, when we bring the software up for a production, then I am gone for the weekend as well.
Okay, so you're not kidding. It's like sometimes the whole weekend included.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so that's 06, and how old are you at that point?
Let's see, I'm 48 now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're working backwards.
Yeah, so that was probably 42.
42-ish, okay. All right, and so, okay, so continue.
So I took this traveling job, and I hadn't worked very much for work before, and it was very new to me being a consultant, so it was a little bit stressful and that kind of thing. So before that, I had actually I had taught aerobics for about 12 or 13 years, so I was pretty active before that. And then I turned around and started traveling, and the activity pretty much ceased, and I was working with veteran consultants, and they were teaching me the lessons of work, but also the lessons of eating at restaurants that maybe weren't that great.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
Yeah, and so, I started the job in 2006, and I started traveling heavily in 2007. At the end of 2007, I literally had went from a normal weight to right on the brink of being obese in 1 year.
How was that? Were you perceiving that was happening, or was it happening so gradually? I'm assuming with your aerobics background, you kind of knew it was happening, or did you even notice? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I knew that I was gaining weight, mm-hmm. but I did not realize that it was at that level of fitness. And I, now that I think back about it, it almost seems like my weight gain in 2007 was like one of my husband's favorite movies, Fast and Furious. I scheduled a vacation from all the work that I had been doing in Hawaii for 2008, and that's when the fog had lifted, and I realized that I had really done some damage to my health and fitness. So I went on that vacation miserable, absolutely miserable, knowing, what I had done. When I got back, that's when I said, I have two choices with this situation. I can either, get a different career, or I, find a way to lose weight on the road and maintain it. Mm-hmm. So those basically, I felt, were my only two options. Mm-hmm. I went about trying to do some things on my own. So, for instance, I was still eating out at the restaurants with other consultants at that point. I started eating some vegetarian dishes. Kind of my thought process with that was, if I'm starting with a lower calorie base, even if the restaurant puts, something unhealthy ingredients cooking-wise, at least I started with a lower calorie base.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. You got to do something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to do something, and I, as a consultant, sometimes you feel pressure to go out with the other consultants that are on the project. So I was trying to have a happy medium at that point and, try to start with the lower calorie base. And that worked for a little while, and I also found a workout for pear shapes that I could do in my room, in my hotel room. And so I started doing that along with the eating the vegetarian dishes anytime we went out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I was doing around 2008 and 2010. And because I have my fat distribution is definitely in the pear shape arena.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're doing that, and then is that you just consistent until you find us, or does something change?
So at that point in time, I felt like I wasn't really making progress, because what happened, with the job that I have, after that initial weight gain, the biggest issues that I had were with the fluctuations of my work. So we would have periods of sheer stress when we're going into production with our software, where we're working around the clock with no sleep, over the weekend, and all. But the clients are giving us all the food that we can eat.
Yeah.
So that combination is not a good combination.
Yeah, there's just this weird social thing with food. It's like people get offended if you don't eat along with them and stuff like that, or if you have some, even a little bit of a choices you're trying to make within that. It's like whatever they present, you sort of just have to have.
Right. And so what happened between 2008 and 2010, really, is that I was going through these flows that seemed to work against me. So I would, work on a project, and then we would get to what we call a go-live, going into production. And then I would gain it back during that time period, and I would lose it again. So I had this pattern of constant cycling between success and failure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really played a big impact role on my mindset, because every failure cycle that I had seemed to be a big blow to my confidence of, can I, lose this weight again? Because our implementations can be, every 3 months or 6 months. So I'm going through this, about the time that you have like a BPA, for instance.
Yeah, I see. I see what you're saying. It's, yeah. Yeah, you like the ebbs and flows are being imposed upon you, sort of.
Right. Mm. And so my biggest issue was trying to get my hands wrapped around what can I do with this. So at that time, I was just trying to figure that out, and it seemed to extend my journey quite a bit, just because of success, failure, success, failure.
Mm-hmm.
After that, in 2010, I went and decided to try to get a personal trainer. And I got a personal trainer, and, I thought I did my research, and, my requirements were that you had to be able to work with somebody that travels a lot. And what I really, I was hoping for a coach, and what I really got was, in my mind, a cheerleader. So I felt like I, didn't really get what I wanted to out of that situation. So the next, after that time slot was over, I started getting DVD programs, because they were, obviously, you can pop in a DVD, work out in your hotel room, and it's really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I started doing after 2010, between like 2010 and 2012. I still do that, some with my scheduling and all that, but I still do some of the DVDs. But then I felt like I needed to get more strength training in from working all the DVDs, but I was doing a lot of HIIT training with the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, it's something that I was really enjoying, but I knew that I needed more.
Mm-hmm.
And I also knew that I needed more with a forum due to my confidence going out the window. I felt like, you know, if I had people to talk with, that would help me with my mindset situation. So I think being has really helped out in that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you basically feel alone, right, at that point?
Yeah, so, I mean, I am probably a little different than a lot of people that, you know, they're with their families all week, whereas I'm opposite, I'm by myself all week.
Yeah, it's like literally, you really do need you need a surrogate family, as it were, something to take with you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually what Venus has come for me.
Okay, well then get up to how you find Venus, and then let's get into that.
So I was doing DVDs, and I'm always looking for a new program. And so I found Venus, as many other people have. I was on MyFitnessPal, and I saw Roberto's pictures, and that's kind of what led me to Venus. I started, you know, looking around at it. Mm-hmm. It took me a month to kind of, you know, I'm a big into research, so I was doing a little research and looking at it, and then I finally, you know, said, yeah, I think I'm going to do that, and it's been great ever since.
So you vetted us first, eh?
Yeah.
You didn't trust me. I'm kidding.
I didn't trust you.
No, hey, man, this whole industry, everyone approaches it skeptically now. I mean, it's just the default mode.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, especially if you're paying for anything, $20 or whatever, you want to, you know, make sure what you're paying for. So.
Yeah, any good consumer is going to give it a look. You don't just drop the money and go. So right. When do you actually join us?
So I'm actually, this week is my 1-year anniversary with Venus.
Oh, okay. And yeah. So when you first join, do you jump right in and just poke around? Like, how did you even adapt what we have for your lifestyle? Because it's not really, it's designed for home workouts for sure, but I don't know if it's designed all the way to just do it in a hotel room. Do some of the places you stay at least have some sort of gym set up, or did you modify it all the way up to literally in your hotel room?
So when I joined Venus a year ago, I was still doing, the workouts in my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
I use, for weights, I use, I don't know if you've ever heard of them before, I use these things called Aqua Bells. And basically, you just fill them up with water, and they're about 8 pounds, but then you get extra to put on there as well. So basically, you can add weight to it.
Oh, that's cool. And then you can travel with them, and they're not, like, miserably heavy when you, like, take the water out.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And they go completely flat, and so you can just put them in your suitcase and go.
Oh, that's super smart. I got to look into that.
And so I was actually, when I did phase one, I did that in my hotel room. Although I do have a fitness center downstairs, I was like, well, you know, it's kind of convenient to do this for right now, you know, as I'm learning the new program. And so if I needed extra weight, this is another thing that I implemented for traveling. I brought the, you know, the resistance bands. So if I need additional weight and I don't have enough in the water, I include the exercise band with the weight, and
sure,
that gives me even added more resistance.
Yeah, it probably looks a little weird, but who cares as long as it works, right?
Yeah, I'm in the hotel room by myself.
Yeah, so no one's judging you. That's creative,
exactly.
And that's kind of what you got to do. Like, people always ask me what to do on the road, and the answer is you got to be creative. You have to have these kind of lightweight, portable solutions, and like what you've done, mix and match a couple of solutions if you have to. Okay, so you're doing that, and then what? And is that's just working for you? Are you active in the community, and what? And how do you get to the point of entering a contest?
Yeah, so I am active in the community now. I think that I picked up speed this last probably 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
But the originally, the first contest that I entered was VP7. I entered my beginning pictures, but when I took my ending pictures, I just wasn't feeling it, so I decided that I was just going to not submit the final pictures at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing phase one, and I switched over to the circuits, which I really love.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like with your training history, they'd fit for you with the aerobics and the HIIT training you were doing.
Yeah. And so for most of VT7, I did the circuits mixed with DVDs here and there. And so that's what I did for VT7.
And then
at the beginning of VT8,
mm-hmm.
I originally was going to go into phase two, and then I to try to build a lot more strength. And then I had a heart-to-heart with one of the veterans, and during that conversation, I had to hear the hard truth, you know, the something that people just have to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that, you know, I really need to lean out more.
Mm.
And you know, it's, sometimes it's hard to hear, but, you know, when it's the truth, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did is I decided to stick with the circuits and in the HIIT training. And I don't know if you've heard, but I tagged my VT8 cycle of Operation Lean Out. I always have to name all of my workout cycles just because, for me, it makes it more personal.
Mm-hmm.
And the more personal it is, the more accountable I am to it.
Yeah, man, whatever works.
Yeah, so I'm like a mantra person. And so anyway, I named it Operation Lean Out. And so that's what I did for VT8. And then I did decide to submit final pictures for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you leaned out. I think you recomped, too, by looking at your pictures. It looks like you got leaner and more muscular.
Yeah, yeah. So my goal for Operation Lean Out was definitely to lean out while trying to keep as much muscle as I possibly could. So mm-hmm. that's what my goal was.
Now, and from so we've kind of strayed from the diet side. Was there anything different you did for dieting? What was your philosophy at this point?
So for my dieting, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that works really well for me traveling wise is you know, the fasting is just awesome for that. So what I did is I fast on the 2 days that I travel, Sunday and Friday.
Mm.
So I fast on Sunday and Friday. And with me being gone all week, what I try to do on the road is keep my calories as low as I possibly can go with the workouts that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing that I'm going home and I have 20, you know, basically a little over 24 hours at home to spend with my husband. So I don't want my diet to, you know, cause an issue. Not really cause an issue, but, you know, I don't want him to have to think about, oh, where do we have to eat or what do we have to eat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I try to keep it really low during the week. That way I can do whatever I want to on Saturday when we have our meal together.
Sure, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And so that sounds like that would fit pretty good. And how did that go?
It goes really well, and you know, it kind of works out for the travel days as well, because I was constantly staring at restaurants hoping that I could find something healthy, and now I just go straight to my date and don't have to worry about it.
And so and now, is that a challenge? Is there like some emotional, mental tug of war going on there, or did it start difficult, become easy? Feels it about the same? What's that feel like? I know for me personally, I don't travel anywhere near as much as you, but on travel days, I'm just poorly adjusted for traveling. So I openly, admittedly self-medicate with food on days I travel. But if you did that, that wouldn't be good because you travel so much. So I find it a challenge. Or is it not that much of a struggle for you? Can you just turn it off and just go about your business?
I just turn it off. I think that it was very difficult, you know, originally in that first year, of course, I was eating everything in the airport,
mm-hmm.
Which is how I got where I did.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I was trying to lose the weight over the last 5 years, I would constantly just stand around at looking for something that I could eat that wouldn't really cause an issue with what I was, you know, my goal and my focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was constantly just staring. And so I felt like it was so difficult anyway for me that why not just skip, you know, the chase and just go to the gate and, you know, forget about it.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily it almost sounds like that's lower stress than even attempting to find something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because all I was able to find, you know, was maybe a banana or something like that. I just didn't think of it. But it is very, very strange for me to sit around watching what other people are eating at that moment, though.
A lot of people are doing that at the airport. They're either eating, that's all you do when you pass time in the airport is eat. What else are you supposed to do? There's nothing to do. What do you do? Exactly. Do you read now? What do you do?
Yeah, I read and get my expense reports done. And
oh, so you try to be productive kind of somehow.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And sometimes I use the airport as a workout. So depending on if I have enough time, so I'll do laps in the terminal. And I actually have done HIIT workouts in the terminal.
Hey, man, I do the same thing. If it's a big terminal, I just walk end to end. And if I'm there, like I have a couple hours to kill, I just keep walking. There's no reason not to.
Exactly. So I actually had got people involved. They saw me, you know, what I was doing, and they joined me.
Oh, that's great. You started a little walking club.
Exactly.
Okay. So then that sounds like, so fasting, and then are you paying attention to like total calories? Are you using the calculator? Or are you going by feel? Like, what are you doing at that point?
Yeah, I don't count calories. Mm-hmm. Because early when, you know, in 2008 through 10, this was, you know, too difficult with the amount that I'm eating out with clients, and that kind of thing. It was just kind of a little unmanageable because, you know, with some of the restaurants don't have online information, and, you know, it just seemed like it really wasn't working. So I just try to you know, keep my calories low. Right now I'm on a long-term assignment, so I have a little bit more appliances at my leisure here.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately go, when I travel, once I get here, I immediately go to the grocery store, and I pick up groceries, and I probably now eat out about twice a week on the road as opposed to every day, you know, two and three times a day, so...
Well, that's good because you can be in a lot more control of what you're eating.
Yeah, and I found that, you know, what I do is I stick to, you know, because the client is bringing me here, I try to stick to really, you know, limited items that I get, and I eat that for the week, and the following week I'll get something different, so I keep it changing up, even though pretty much the same. I'm eating mostly the same stuff during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, you know, keeping it isolated like that really helps me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then you're managing a totally mobile lifestyle, and then you just so you're just sustaining that for the contest. Do you do anything towards the end of the contest, or are you just par for the course the whole way, sort of thing?
So because I had this long extended journey, I think that right now I have more of a balanced view of it, and I didn't do anything extreme, just kind of do what I do. And so I did towards the end of the contest. I wasn't doing it necessarily to lose more inches, but I've been recently doing some stair circuits since I live in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to just go to the stairway and just run up and down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little bit of that. But other than that, I really didn't, you know, add any more. I just do, still doing the DVDs and mixing that with the circuits, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, okay, so now that you've made it to this point, I guess the idea is to sustain this as a lifestyle moving forward. Am I correct to assume that's the goal?
Yeah, that is the goal. Now I am in a what I call a power-up stage, and so I'm trying to, now that I've leaned out a bit, I'm going to try to build a bit more strength right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, and that makes sense to take it in stages, even though you can always do a bit of both. It psychologically, it feels better to think in terms of which one's the one you're maximizing, even though you can still do a little bit of leaning while you're getting stronger.
Yeah, and for me, it just made sense for me to do it that way, and so I think it for me it did work out.
So, are you happy with your after pictures? Are you happy where you got to?
I am happy where I got to. You know, we always have those bits that we worry about, but in time, I think once I get through the strength that I'm getting ready to do now, I think I'll be a little happier.
Okay, so I guess we're getting on to the end here. So what's your overall advice for other women who might be in your position where they travel a lot and trying to manage things?
My overall advice, especially for traveling, is that it's all about the choices that you make. The choices that you make impact your outcome. You're in full control of that outcome by the choices that you make. So just be, cognizant of all the choices that you make. One of the things also that I did, especially after that bad 2007 year for me, is, in moments of doubt, I just close my eyes and imagine myself a year from now, since that year wasn't the best year for me. So that is one thing that I did a lot as well.
That's an interesting little visualization. And what can you say about the Venus community?
The Venus community is my family, especially for me on the road. Everybody there is just so supportive, and they have actually helped with my confidence. And I just can't thank that community enough. So,
well, I guess this is you thanking them right now.
Exactly. Thank you, everybody.
All right. So I guess that's a great place to leave it, unless you have something else. I think we're good. What do you think?
I have a couple of questions for you.
Oh, okay. We're doing Q&A. Yep. Sure. Shoot.
So one of the questions I had, and we talked about the fact that I'm fasting on days that I'm actually traveling. Mm. I have heard that when you travel, you get dehydrated. And it takes your body sort of, a day or 2 days to recoup from that. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Dehydrated. I don't know if I've
As you're traveling on a plane.
Oh, you mean just being in a pressurized cabin or something?
Yeah, I have heard that it takes your body like a day to get over that. And I was just wondering if, you had any thoughts on whether maybe fasting might not, or
no, I don't know about. Okay, I don't know how valid I don't know how valid that is. But I've never seen any scientific evidence. Nothing jumps out at me about the idea that, by definition, being on a plane just dehydrate. Just drink water. So what? You can still drink. Fasting doesn't mean you don't have liquids. So, if that's a concern, I don't know. Just stay hydrated. That's pretty easy. And then as far as staying hydrated goes, if you're not like overtly thirsty, then you're fine. So, I wouldn't even be concerned with that. And fasting doesn't preclude you from drinking any kind of liquid that doesn't have calories in it. So just, you can do water, you can do diet things, you can do like coffee or tea or something like that. So if dehydration itself is any concern, that you can completely avoid that by drinking fluids.
I think when I'm traveling, because I'm not eating, I'm actually drinking more.
So you're never going to be dehydrated. So that's not a problem. What do you got next?
The other question that I had, and I know that, it's built to work in your home as well, but I only have access to free weights, and I was wondering if you thought at some point in my fitness endeavor, if that is going to limit maybe my building growth.
Your growth, what, if you only ever use free weights?
Right, and I don't have access to a barbell or anything like that.
You mean like just dumbbells? No, not really, especially with the resistance bands. Like all weights do is add in resistance that you can't generate by just contracting the muscles against, like if you just squeeze your hands together and stuff like that. So like that's all they're for. But so if the resistance you're adding to your body is in the form of a couple of the aqua, whatever you call those aqua bells, coupled with some resistance bands, that's resistance, just resistance. Like you don't need a bar. All it is convenient. A bar is just convenient. That's all. Like to use. It's not convenient to travel with, but if you're at a gym, they're cheap and easy to use and like just throw on your back or grab it with two hands. So yeah, it's you're not really missing out. You just need to be a little creative. But resistance is just resistance. So you could just get multiple bands. You could get bands that have a different degree of tension in them. There actually is quite a few different styles of bands you can get. So I think you could get as much resistance as you feel like having in a chain. Yeah, Brad Pelon's here, and he just mentioned you can get bands all the way up to 120 pounds of resistance, which could provide a lot. So you can get all the resistance you want that's really light and portable in a hotel room and be confident that you're not giving away, you're not missing out on some development you could have had if you had a bar handy. So I wouldn't worry about that at all. Like maybe a top level power lifter who's trying to like lift 600 or 700 pounds. Yeah, he needs a 600 or 700 pound bar, but that isn't any of us. So
right.
Okay. Yeah. So no, I think you're good. You can get as far as you want just with some. I mean, there's a lot of good bands and good like devices that are super light for travel. So yeah, you can get as far as you want just with that stuff.
Yeah, and I tend to travel with that stuff. I travel with an ab wheel as well. So
yeah. So yeah, I mean, one gym bag you can recreate an entire workout system just with a few things in a gym bag. So yeah, I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Okay, well that's great. That answers my question. Because that's the one thing that you know I hear about everybody using them and just thought.
Well, I mean, in an ideal world, right? But they're not. They're not living in other people aren't living in how restricted of a world you're living in. Like you're probably so busy on the road, you can't just scope out a local gym in all the cities you end up in too. Right. Like, you know, so it's just for convenience sake. Yeah. You can get it done. There's nothing to worry about there.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. So, I think that's a good place to leave it then. Do you have any other questions or was that it?
No, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you and all that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. And, well, it doesn't really mean much unless there's people like you who follow through and kind of, you know, follow the system and prove that it's worth following. So thank you. And also to everybody listening and everybody in the community. I guess I never really thank everybody, so I'm going to take an opportunity to thank everyone in the community. I know I don't mention too many people by name, but I'm aware of everyone in the community. I'm kind of aware of you. So I guess this is my chance to thank the community at large. So but I think we'll leave it at that for today. So congratulations. Thanks for being on the podcast. So for Carrie Zeilinger, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.